You're listening to Closer, a Bible study meets podcast.
Exploring God, faith, and all the stuff in between.
I'm your host, Billy Draper.
Since publishing the first episode of Closer in April 2020, Closer has been downloaded by listeners on 6 continents, in 32 countries, and in nearly 125 cities. So I am both grateful, and despite many months away from the microphone, I am also encouraged by the support of this podcast by listeners all around the world. So thank you. Thank you very much. That said, let's get into a new episode, shall we? If asked, what is the way Christians worship God? What thought or thoughts come to mind? Now, to be fair, your answer may depend on your understanding of Christianity. But I'd say it is highly likely that many of you thought, oh, that's easy. Christians worship God by going to church, praying a few times a day, and maybe doing some Bible study here and there. How many of you thought that? Now, it's not entirely wrong, and many worshiping God looks exactly like this or something like that. But as Gary Thomas, author of Sacred Pathways, suggests, there are in fact 9 ways to connect and worship God. 9, right? Not the 1 or 2, the 3 that we've maybe been told, are the ways, but 9. And I find it very, very interesting. So let me ask this question again. If asked, what are the ways you can worship or connect with God, what would you say? Let's take a closer look. For the vast majority of my Christian life, I was under the impression that the only way to grow as a Christian is to attend church, pray in the morning and evening, and study the Bible. And like I said, although I find those activities important and necessary in my personal journey and connectivity to God, they aren't the only way I find connection with God. And I was exposed to this idea, recently in this book that I was reading. And in fact, after reading Sacred Pathways, which explicitly outlines these 9 primary ways in which we connect to God, I realized connecting with God happens a lot more often and a variety of more ways than I perhaps even realized. Truth be told, I was aware, but the mechanical one-size-fits-all approach to worshiping God via a weekly visit to a church is well ingrained in most of us, most Christians. And for some, the idea of church, especially the modern Christian experience, turns us away from God, and therefore we don't feel like we can connect with God in any other way. But let me share this idea and try to illustrate what worshiping or connecting to God could and perhaps should look like. I'm going to use the example of diet, right? We can all relate to food. Spinach, a superfood, is full of all kinds of great stuff. Every 3.5 ounces of spinach has about 3 grams of protein, a little more than 2 grams of fiber, is high in vitamin A, C, K, has iron, folic acid, potassium, magnesium, and calcium. It's just amazing. It truly is a superfood. And one could argue, based on that description, that if you ate a spinach-only diet, you'd be in pretty good health. But it's not the case. Based on what I discovered, if you only ate spinach, it would cause a buildup of uric acid. And based on what I've learned about uric acid, you could get gout, experience kidney failure, and damage your arteries due to high cholesterol, which is, that's crazy that you would develop that after just eating something that sounded so great, right? So where am I going with this? Well, just like a diet where food diversity is critical to health, a healthy connection to God also requires diversity. And that concept might sound foreign or strange or a little bit untraditional, but it's really, really interesting. So just like a variety of foods nourish your body and mind in different ways, finding various ways to connect to God nourishes our relationship to God. to take this a step further, let's tie this idea back to the Bible. So from the first word of the Bible to the last, Scripture tells the story of one God. However, through the duration of the Bible, we are introduced to a number of people that worship God in many different ways. And it's probably not apparent because maybe we don't spend time to actually drill down into those concepts, right? But I think it's really, really interesting. And like I said, this book kind of opened my eyes to it. So for example, Abraham, if you're familiar with Abraham, was always building altars and making sacrifice. That was the way that Abraham worshiped God. That's the way he connected to God. Moses, pretty famous guy, right, was a bit of an activist and wasn't afraid of confrontation to fight the injustice, right, that was so prevalent during his time. And that's the way he connected to God. That's the way he served God, right? David was very enthusiastic and colorful in his approach to worshiping God. Mordecai demonstrated his love for God as a caregiver. Mary of Bethany was a contemplative as she sat at the feet of Jesus. And there are many more other examples of how different people throughout the Bible worship and connected to God in many, many different ways. Now, I'm not going to go into the history of the church, but I do encourage you to pick up a copy of Sacred Pathways by Gary Thomas and explore those details. But let's just say over time, we have been led to believe that going to church, doing small groups, and prayer is the narrow pathway to worshiping God. It is the pathway to worshiping God. And like I said, although those things are important, spoiler alert, it's not the only way. Let me give you an example. I was recently in Moab, Utah. I don't know if you've ever been, if you ever have the opportunity to go out to Moab, Utah, I highly recommend it. I took my son and my wife there, and we were at Canyonlands National Park and Arches National Park. We also went to, I think it's called Dead Horse Memorial State Park, something like that. But I will tell you, I had a moment where, I actually had two moments, and probably micro moments throughout the day, where as I was, the first moment, I mentioned this to my wife, we were driving in from Colorado onto the interstate, and we got into this canyon where the Colorado River opened up, and you know, you saw these red, big high walls and plateaus and mesas and all this really beautiful just stuff. I mean, just awe-inspiring, you know, imagery. And I looked over at my wife and I said, Jesse, if you don't believe that there's a God, there's a lot of people that don't, but for me, I connected in this moment. I just don't see how you can deny that there's not a God. Look around, like there's a creator, a master creator here that did a remarkable job. Man can't do this. You know, there's all kinds of theories about, you know, whether there's a God or not, or depending on where you want to go with it, there's all kinds of just kind of theories about why we exist, who created us, et cetera, et cetera. But in my opinion here, right, in my experience and what I feel, that connection that I'm talking about, I was just looking around going, this is undeniable to me. I felt very connected to God in that moment as I was driving. And like I said, there were other moments. We had a hot tub that I sat out in at night, and the stars, there was one night that were there, there was very little cloud cover. And just sitting back and looking up and seeing stars. I don't know if we do that enough anymore. I looked up and I was like, this is just incredible. I've really felt God's presence. This concludes episode 1 of season 2 of Closer. Once again, I want to thank you for your continued support and listenership. And I encourage you to pick up a book of Sacred Pathways if you can. And I thank you for listening. Stay tuned for more.